Chapter 10, Treasury. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6. Because comparatively few Gideons have any idea of the extent of our financial operations, the facts given in this chapter are certain to be of interest to those who read this history of the Gideons International. As treasurer, Philip A. Lind so well said in his annual report to the convention in Louisville, Kentucky, in July 1958, "We are operating a large enterprise for our God, involving the receipt and expenditure of $1.5 million. The treasury is administered by the international treasurer under the jurisdiction of the Financial Committee and Cabinet. The Finance Committee is provided for in Section 4 of Article 8 of the bylaws, which section reads as follows. Section 4. The Finance Committee shall consist of 3 regular members, and it shall be the duty of such committee to prepare the budget each year and through the budget to supervise all financial matters. It shall recommend securities for investment of the monies in the endowment fund. It shall arrange for an annual audit of the books of account of the association. The treasurer shall be a member of and chairman of this committee. It will be noted that it is the duty of the finance committee to prepare the budget for each year and through the budget to supervise all financial matters. The bylaws also provide for 3 funds in Section 1 and 2 of Article 7 as follows. General fund, sometimes called operating fund, endowment fund, scripture fund. In view of the fact that the annual dues comprise the primary source of income for the general fund, listed below are the dues as fixed by annual conventions beginning with the second annual convention in Madison, Wisconsin in 1901. Year 1901, Madison, Wisconsin, $1. 1904, Minneapolis, Minnesota, $2. 1914, Boston, Massachusetts, $2.50. 1919, Cleveland, Ohio, $3. 1922, Atlanta, Georgia, $5. 1948, San Francisco, California, $10. 1954, Boston, Massachusetts, $12.50. 1956, Atlanta, Georgia, $15. The following chart, covering an 11-year period, 1948 to 1958, of related membership and dues statistics should prove interesting and revealing. It is interesting to note that during the 11-year period, 1948 to 1958, Scripture Fund receipts increased 101%. However, the most remarkable fact seems to be that this 101% increase in Scripture Funds was accomplished in spite of a 23% decrease in membership during the same period, from 16,423 members to 12,526 members. In the early days, the Gideons had 2 other funds, which did not represent sound business practice for an association such as the Gideons. The first one was the fund for the benefit of a single individual known as the Palmer Fund. Charles H. Palmer had been a field superintendent from July 1901 until his death on July 6, 1906. Upon his death, his blind widow received the proceeds of a life insurance policy. These funds were lost, however, through an unfortunate investment. National Secretary W. E. Henderson suggested to the 1910 convention in Detroit, Michigan, that a fund be established to assist Mrs. Palmer. He and a few other Gideons had been sending her some financial aid each month, but now they felt that the Gideons should create a Palmer Fund. This was approved by the convention and the fund was started. At the Huntington, West Virginia Convention in 1916, a second fund, to be known as the Beneficent Fund, was recommended by the cabinet and adopted by the convention. The purpose of this fund was to give temporary financial assistance to needy traveling men and their families. At the Cleveland Convention in 1919, the name Palmer Fund was dropped and all funds were placed in the Beneficent Fund. To show how determined some brethren were, the following motion was made and carried. Moved that $50 per month be paid Mrs. Palmer out of beneficent fund, and that a sufficient amount up to 5% of general receipts, if necessary, be appropriated from general fund to make it possible. This beneficent fund was dispensed with the cabinet on July 25, 1932. Mrs. Charles H. Palmer had been practically the only beneficiary for more than 5 years, and she died in June 1932. The endowment fund was established March 1919 by the cabinet and later approved by the annual convention in Cleveland in July 1919. Evidently, it was part of the plan that Gideons should subscribe $30,000 as their part of this fund before July 1921. However, it was not until March 1925 that a report showed that $30,000 had been pledged by the Gideons to this endowment fund. Since then, the endowment fund was made a part of the bylaws. And at the present time, Section 5 of Article 7 reads as follows. Section 5. Monies received for life memberships and monies received for endowment shall constitute the endowment fund. Such monies, except the necessary expenses of procuring this fund, shall be invested in securities approved by the Finance Committee. Only the income from the securities shall be used for the general expenses and credited to the general fund. The endowment fund amounting to $127,890 as of March 31, 1959 has grown primarily from life memberships, although some funds have been credited to this fund from legacies or larger donations by a majority of vote of the cabinet as provided for in Section 1 of Article 7 of the bylaws. The scripture fund is always kept intact, and great care is exercised in crediting to this fund everything that should be credited to it. The Gideons are fortunate in receiving legacies and bequests from time to time. When there is no designation regarding their use, such gifts are credited to the general fund as provided by Section 1 of Article 7 of the bylaws. Sometimes such bequests are quite substantial as specified in a will, but often they dwindle during probation of the will, so that when the actual amounts are received, they are only a small part of what might originally have been expected. As an illustration, for some years, Miss Anna M. Spring was very much interested in the ministry of the Gideons. Prior to her death, during the summer of 1937, she for many years attended every annual convention and was always present at every business session as well as other meetings. She was reputed to be a woman of some means and had indicated that upon her death, her estate, after a few small personal bequests, would be bequeathed to the Gideons. Upon her death, her estate inventoried at about $750,000, but most of it was in equities in real estate in Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, taxes were in arrears on such real estate equities for some years. By the time the personal bequests were paid and the tax situation cleared up, there was little left for the Gideons. As an example of a more fortunate bequest, there is the Harvey R. Smith estate in Southern California, where each month the Gideons received part of the cash proceeds from an oil well. These proceeds have amounted from $900 to $1,200 per month up to October 1950. At that time, approximately $106,000 had been received. Even now, in 1959, the income for the Gideons is approximately $900 per month. The stipulation was, however, that these funds must be used exclusively for placing Bibles in California. There have been many more substantial bequests, but no attempt has been made to list them all, partly due to the fact that accurate records are not now available. For many years, there was a talk of a retirement plan for Gideon employees, but nothing came of it until the Finance Committee, early in 1956, undertook a study of various plans. Finally, an acceptable plan was approved by the Cabinet, which plan was put into effect March 1, 1957. This plan makes for better employee relations. It is applicable for the present employees who are under 60 years of age and have at least 3 years of consecutive employment with the Gideon International. This retirement plan becomes effective for other employees as they from time to time qualify. It does not require any cash contribution by the employee and yet is not too costly for the Gideon Association. To show how large a business is now conducted by the Gideons, Treasurer Philip A. Lind, in his 1958 annual report, gave the receipts of scripture funds for designated periods as follows. Period from 1955 to 1956, church offerings, $795,336.61. Designated gifts, $256,092.17. Mite boxes, $7,885.61. Total, $1,068,314.39. Period from 1956 to 57. Church offerings, $791,489.31. Designated gifts, $237,891.21. Mite boxes, $8,019.40. Total, $1,037,399.98. Period from 1957 to 58. Church offerings, $831,811.05. Designated gifts, $293,167.59. Mite boxes, $10,260.43. Total, $1,135,239.27. The receipts for the month of June 1958 totaled $170,238.91, the largest receipts for any one month in our annals. Likewise, the receipts for the past fiscal year were also largest for any one year. Praise God. Mr. Lind also reported the total income for general fund for the year 1957-58 was $244,255.81. The total expenses charged to general fund during the same period was $218,660.63, leaving an operating surplus of $25,595.18. On pages 32 and 33 of the August-September 1958 issue of the Gideon, there is published a combined statement of income, expenses, receipts, and disbursements for the Gideons International for the year ended June 30, 1958. This shows that of all income, only 16% was credited to the general fund and that all expenses charged against the general fund was only 9%. When it comes to the scripture fund, 84% of all income was credited to the same. Expenses charged against the scripture fund were 91% of total expenditures. This means that actually 7% of all income which was credited to the general fund was used for the scripture fund.